It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Menominee Falls-based department store chain Kohl's has hired an interim CEO after the previous leader, Ashley Buchanan, was found to be funneling business to his romantic partner.
Kohl's is one of the largest department stores nationwide. Its financial struggles continued last week with its first quarter earnings report.
Kohl's reported a sales decline of 4.1%. The company reported a net loss of $15 million. Compared to this time last year, the company lost $27 million.
But its revenue losses beat analyst expectations following the firing of Buchanan for cause. The abrupt exit of its CEO has complicated the retailer's efforts to turn around its business.
Wall Street Journal reporter and UW-Madison alum Sarah Nassauer has been reporting on the turmoil at the top and what happened to Buchanan. Her most recent piece is called How Two CEOs Mixed Romance and Business Leading to Scandal. Sarah, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
The Kohl's board fires former CEO Ashley Buchanan for cause, so an ethics code violation, after 3 months and 16 days on the job. What did Buchanan do?
He engaged in some inappropriate business arrangements with his romantic partner and didn't disclose his relationship with this person at the time. And so that's why we saw the Kohl's board, you know, issue a financial filing that said they had fired him for cause, which is really rare. I mean, that really jumped out at us that morning as, wow, this is pretty significant. And then it took a little digging to figure out kind of, you know, what had happened.
Ashley Buchanan and the romantic partner here, Chandra Holt, they were executives. They had run major retail chains, Buchanan, Kohl's and Michaels, and then Holt for a brief time at Bed Bath & Beyond. Do boards require executives to disclose relationships that might result in a conflict of interest?
Yes. They don't require, you know, you to say who you're dating if there's no entanglement, right? You don't have to share every bit of your love life with a board. But in this case, they both met at Walmart. They were both Walmart executives. He had gone on to Michael's when he left Walmart. She had gone to be the CEO of Conn's, another Texas retailer. And then, as you said, was at Bed Bath & Beyond. And then Kurt, you know, more recently was starting a product, a coffee pod, like a K-cup company, and talking to both Michaels and Kohl's about those products. So in this case, there was a lot of entanglement in terms of the, you know, they're both in the same industry.
And so this Incredibrew product, this K-cup product, there's a picture in the article of it being on the shelves in Michaels. So some of these deals went through.
At Michaels, it was being sold both online and in stores once Kohl's made that announcement. You know, we went to a store and bought it there ourselves.
Yeah. So there is some evidence pointing to similar conduct with the same romantic partner when Buchanan was CEO of Michaels. Can you talk at all about this history of this type of behavior in terms of business dealings or even, you know, promoting people for particular jobs?
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about in the story, you know, there was a time when Ashley Buchanan went to Michaels. He got that job in 2020, or he started that job in early 2020, just before the pandemic hit. And at the time, Michaels was actually trying to recruit Chandra Holt for a high-level executive role. That didn't happen. She never went there. And as you said, they also did start selling some of her products, you know, years later, once she turned towards that business.
Buchanan is having to repay, from what I understand, signing bonuses, and Kohl's struck out some equity compensation. Is this unusual for a CEO to have to pay back some of that golden parachute that executives get when they separate from a company?
It's very unusual. You know, I don't know that I've ever covered something like this, and I've been at the Wall Street Journal for 20 years. It's very unusual for anyone at a very high level to be fired for cause. and firing for cause means what you're saying, right? You got to give back some of the money. You don't get all of the severance benefits that you might have had otherwise.
I mean, you were able to unearth a lot of the details here that we normally aren't really privy to when there is a corporate shakeup. I mean, we get the corporate speak in the filings. Can you talk a little bit about how you reported the story? I mean, it starts in this exclusive club in the Dallas area, a gated community type club. How did you do this?
Well, I think it was helpful that, so I have covered Walmart, where both of these executives, Sandra Holt and Ashley Buchanan, met and started, you know, or previously worked. I've covered Walmart for about 10 years, and I know that community quite well. And I think that was really helpful to me reporting this story, because I already had a good sense of sort of where they came from. You know, I already sort of had a sense that they were close, and reporting went from there. The other, you know, dynamic here is that this is a moment where journalists, well, at least Wall Street Journal journalists, don't necessarily care who you're having a relationship with. That's not news. What made all of this news is the fact that Ashley was fired for cause from Kohl's, and that Kohl's was pretty blunt about why. Hmm.
There's this one line that you write: at Kohl's, Buchanan's brusque management style quickly ruffled feathers inside headquarters at Menomonee Falls. Can you give us any examples or talk about his management style that didn't go over in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, for years, Ashley has been known, multiple companies that he's worked at, as really smart, really sharp, really, you know, a tough negotiator with the retailer's suppliers, but also, you know, and someone who gives a lot of autonomy to the people that work for him, but also somewhat brusque in the way that he interacts. I was told, you know, he's not really someone to necessarily ask you about your weekend and have that kind of relationship with the people that he's working with. And he can be just very direct in how he's talking about what works and what doesn't work.
So the new CEO stepping in, Michael Bender, fourth CEO in less than 3 years. How does this kind of churn tend to affect a retail business financially, or their future?
Well, Michael Bender is the fourth CEO that Kohl's has had in 3 years. And, you know, that's a lot. They had earnings yesterday, and he did sort of address the fact that there's been a lot of change, but they're not changing their strategy for now. He's the interim CEO, so that means there'll likely be another person. It means that, you know, Kohl's has tried many strategies, right, over in recent years, and they haven't worked. And they continue to look for a combination of operating, you know, ideas that will grow their sales faster. And when you have management change, of course, that means that, yeah, the company has to adjust to someone else's strategy. But as a reporter, I always see that more as a sign that what they're trying to do is quite difficult.
In terms of comparing Kohl's to other retailers, is Kohl's more on shaky ground, or what would you say?
Yeah, Kohl's is on shakier ground than some of the other retailers I cover. You know, we've seen Walmart, for example, has done really, really well since the beginning of the pandemic, through this time of increased inflation that we've been living through. And then, you know, just in the last quarter that they reported 2 weeks ago, Walmart is taking share. You have discount retailers like TJX, which owns TJ Maxx, that's also doing well, and I would consider, you know, a competitor of Kohl's. Kohl's has struggled to attract folks at a time when both department store formats are struggling, right? That whole format is becoming something that is less popular in America, but also shoppers are gravitating towards deals and deals messaging and this perception of getting a good deal. And Kohl's hasn't navigated as well through that consumer environment.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing your reporting.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer. She spoke with us about the executive churn at Menomonee Falls-based Kohl's and her recent reporting on the retail chain's CEO firing. Now, as many retailers have been closing brick-and-mortar stores and trying to adapt, we look at the forces at play for Kohl's and other department stores to stay viable. Daphne Howland is a senior reporter at Retail Dive and is a Milwaukee native. Daphne, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here.
What is your reaction to the shakeup at the top of Kohl's, because you cover retailers day in and day out?
It was pretty shocking. And we know, because we've been covering the turnaround at Kohl's, how difficult it's been, and just how critical that leadership position is. He had just arrived and now he's out under, you know, such a cloud. It just seemed like terrible timing.
Kohl's lost $15 million in the first quarter, which, it kind of shockingly, is an improvement, not as bad as it could have been. What is our takeaway here, that department stores are regularly operating at a loss like this?
Kohl's is really almost at the bottom of the pack. I would say JCPenney is maybe the one that is struggling more than they are. I think it's only going to get worse unless they can figure things out. What really struck me from the earnings call is that so many of the improvements that they were reporting were coming from, you know, policies from the CEO before Ashley Buchanan. So Tom Kingsbury left, you know, not really a surprise, because a lot of the changes he made backfired and they had to really scramble to undo them. But that undoing is working. The problem is they're sort of now, what they're doing is working really hard to get back to the point where they were also in need of a turnaround. So it's just a really rough patch.
It seems like it goes from one crisis to the next, or just to keep putting out fires. And how do you keep doing that?
It's a rough time also, because tariffs aren't making any retailer's life any easier. Kohl's, which really wants to, they've heard from their customers. They had made a concerted effort to bring in brand names. And I think that was part of their move to appeal to younger consumers. But their loyal customers want those Kohl's brands that are very familiar to them and are the better deal. And Kohl's makes a bigger margin off of those labels also. Right now, to the extent that so many private labels are made in China, it's not going to have the same kind of margin advantage that it did, you know, a year ago.
Has Kohl's offered any insights or any information into whether they will pass their costs onto customers as we see the White House's tariffs unfolding?
They're not planning on raising prices, you know, at the moment. They're not changing their pricing approach, but they're not really in a position to. They don't necessarily have a lot of price elasticity. They need to bring back Kohl's cash. They're adding more. They had taken away a lot of the usefulness of those coupons because they were more exclusions. That also upset their customers. And so probably you'll see prices hold steady, if not fall.
One thing that strikes me about Kohl's is its massive footprint with real estate. How does its real estate holdings factor into the company's fiscal position, if at all?
They have really pushed back on the idea of downsizing very much. They did announce that they were going to close 27 stores. I think some analysts expect them to downsize much more, but they say their stores are profitable, and it can be, you know, a retailer is going to be hard pressed to close a store that is still making money. Obviously, it's a lot easier to operate stores well when you don't have as many. And right now, the state of Kohl's stores can be, they don't have enough people taking care of the sales floor. They don't have enough customer service. It's hurting them. So
how important is customer service?
It's maybe not as important as it is in a place like Nordstrom that attracts a higher income customer, but no one wants to wander around a big store like Kohl's, and the spaces are very big, and not be able to find someone to help them out. No one wants to see, you know, messy racks and stuff. And so they probably need more people in the stores. They need more attention to merchandising. And it's just easier to do that when you're really focusing on your strongest locations.
Okay, Daphne, I want to bring in your favorite phrase, retail apocalypse. Maybe not your favorite phrase, but I mean, you said that it's overused.
Yes.
And these brick and mortar stores, they're still closing in the hundreds, sometimes in the thousands. How would you characterize what we're seeing with brick and mortar retail today? And is this the retail apocalypse?
If the retail apocalypse is defined by closing stores, I would say it's definitely not happening. Because although obviously you'll see in headlines, and we do the same thing, if a retailer goes bankrupt and closes thousands of stores, it's headline worthy. But most of the massive closures like that are coming from retailers that truly have not operated well, which is why they're in bankruptcy or close to it. I think to the extent that there was a time when there were too many stores in the US, that's been corrected. And the vacancy rate is actually, it's very tight right now, and retailers are looking to open stores. So I think it really comes down to, if it's a well-run retailer with the right amount of stores in the right locations, you know, they're not going to close them.
Okay, so crystal ball, will Kohl's figure this out? And if so, where will they find their next CEO?
It's an open question whether Kohl's will be able to stick this out. I think there's a lot of pessimism. Where the CEO comes from and how quickly is another question that may be harder to answer than ever, because there's been a lot of turnover at that spot. It's a company in rough shape and without much of a clear strategy.
Daphne, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Daphne Howland is a senior reporter at Retail Dive, which reports on the news and trends shaping retail. She spoke with us about the so-called retail apocalypse and the future of the Kohl's department store chain, which operates over 1,100 locations nationwide, with 42 in Wisconsin. We also heard from Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer, who wrote about the recent ouster of Kohl's CEO. We spoke last week when the Kohl's first quarter corporate earnings report came out.